Tim coming in. Tim, this is Adam coming in.
Adam, is that you?
It's me.
Thank God.
How are things on the island?
Well, I'm still in the tent that I built. I got the shakes.
The shakes?
Is it possible to get addicted to something after only having three hits of it?
Yeah, it's called Star Wars Trilogy.
That's what I had. I had the Star Wars effect.
Star Wars Trilogy of
effects.
Cocktails?
Yeah, of cocktails.
Well, I'm just checking in with my daily update from the South by Southwest Film Festival.
I'd love to hear it.
I saw four movies today, Tim. I have hit a wall. I don't like movies anymore.
That's not possible.
You're right. I'll recover. But Martin has just dropped me off, gave me a badge, and I'm forced, literally forced, to watch movies all day long.
He's forcing you? Martin is?
Well, he did in terms of abandonment. I haven't seen him.
Oh, I see.
Someone told me they saw a robot headed down 6th Street listening to Kahunto music.
That's got to be him because he loves Kahunto.
He loves Kahunto music.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear about the movies that I saw?
I would love to.
Let's start with the last movie I watched, which is Richard Linklater's Before Midnight.
Yes, I've heard good buzz from this.
Yeah,
because it's screened at Sundance, right?
Yes, and you're familiar with the other two films. This is a sequel to 1995's Before Sunrise and 2004's Before Sunset.
And I love those films.
Yes. Yeah, in Before Midnight, we catch up with Celine and Jesse 9 years after their last rendezvous in Before Sunset. And, you know, like 2 decades have passed since their encounter on the train in Vienna. And now we find them in their 40s in Greece, of all places. And the movie follows them throughout the course of a day before the clock strikes midnight, essentially. And it's all just Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, the two main actors, kind of navigating their relationship, and it felt really authentic and intense, really.
Really, so really a progression from the other films.
Yeah,
they
you
seem
kind
to
of,
get deeper and deeper as they go along.
And I don't think watching the other two is exactly necessary for this one, but it definitely gives you perspective on their relationship as a whole. But you know, the fights in this movie, the verbal spats between the two lovers, it was intense, Tim. You know, I grew up on an island for the most part. I haven't had to deal with many women. We will accept David.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So
who can be a bitch?
So, I was really quite intrigued by this, and I'm kind of glad I'm on the island. I don't want to put up with that shit.
Huh.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Wow.
In any case, it was a great movie.
It was great.
It was great. I think I was just maybe too tired to fully give 100% of my attention to it.
Because you say this was the last of four movies you saw in one day.
Yeah, I didn't get out. I got out of this movie after midnight. Isn't that ironic? It's called Before Midnight. I got out after midnight.
That is ironic.
The next movie I saw was Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, yeah. This is the adaptation of the famous Farley Brothers film.
Yes, thank you, Tim. It's an adaptation of Shakespeare's classic comedy Much Ado About Nothing, but it's given a contemporary spin by Joss Whedon, and some pretty crazy information about this movie. It was shot in 12 days using only the original text from Shakespeare's play, and it was filmed at Joss Whedon's house. So when you watch the movie, which is in black and white, you are seeing like Joss Whedon's kids' bedrooms and his estate, if you will. So it's a very personal movie. It's filled with Whedon regulars. You've got people like Nathan Fillion, Fran Kranz from Cabin in the Woods.
Oh yeah.
Clark Gregg from Avengers. The two big standouts, though, are Amy Acker, who plays Beatrice, and Alexis Denisov, who plays Benedict. And they completely steal the show. They are incredible.
Really? Where would I know them from?
Amy Acker is actually, I can't think of the character's name, but she is the, I think she's from the chemistry department in Cabin in the Woods. She wears the lab coat and she hangs out with Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford's characters.
Oh, right. Which really could be considered kind of a second lead in that film,
right? You're
right.
Yeah. You're right. It's true. And Alexis Denisov, to be honest, I am not too familiar with him, but okay. I'm fairly certain he is part of Whedon's
ensemble.
Rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Like I said, shot in black and white and using the original text, it was very interesting. It was almost like the Cabin in the Woods of Shakespeare. Like, it felt definitive and yet fresh, and there were a lot of little in-jokes. And Nathan Fillion plays Dogberry, the kind of, I guess, lead police officer or investigator that's called in the story. And he's got some really funny bits. Lots of him putting on sunglasses and taking sunglasses off like he's from CSI Miami.
I could watch Nathan Fillion do that for 20 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Castle is?
Yes. And Joss Whedon, what a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy.
Avengers, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Executive producer.
Shakespeare.
15 TV shows that got canceled before their first season finished.
Right.
So that was terrific. Lionsgate picked it up. They'll be distributing it. So I would imagine we'll see it sometime this summer. Another movie I saw, and I think you'll take particular interest in this one, Tim.
Okay.
David Gordon Green.
Oh, yeah.
You know him, you love him. Director of such films as Your Highness.
Yes, perhaps Pineapple his crowning achievement.
Pineapple Express, All the Real Girls, George Washington. Mm-hmm. How does someone go from having a film in the Criterion Collection to having Your Highness?
I do not know. It's a I've wild been thinking departure. About that.
But this is the good news. So this movie, Prince Avalanche, is David Gordon Green's latest movie, and it is a return to form in many ways for him as far as like... more of an art house movie for David Gordon Green. And it stars Emil Hirsch and Paul Rudd as two highway road workers who spend the summer of 1988 away from their city lives. And they essentially spend the whole movie painting yellow dashes on the pavement because that needs to be done.
Yeah, this is an action-packed premise here.
It is, yes. And so it takes place in this landscape that's kind of been scorched by wildfires. And this scenery becomes a place of misadventure, really, as these two guys find themselves at odds with each other. And there's a complicated relationship there. Paul Rudd's character is dating Emil Hirsch's sister, and... Paul Rudd's girlfriend kind of sort of dumps him, and so there's a lot of tension, and it's really quite a bizarre movie, Tim.
Hmm.
There's some stuff in it that doesn't add up at all. There's like, you could even say there's a borderline supernatural element that's never really explained.
You know, the one thing about David Gordon Green, the thread here is that everything that this man does is just incredibly strange.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you've got Paul Rudd here with a dirty 80s mustache.
Oh.
And he's wearing overalls almost the whole movie. And if he's not wearing overalls, he's wearing like John Stockton late 80s basketball shorts. So,
wow.
There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this movie.
Interesting. Did you like it?
I did like it. I liked it mainly for the chemistry between Emil Hirsch and Paul Rudd's characters. They were great. They both gave terrific performances. Mm. And Emil Hirsch, I really liked him in Killer Joe.
He was so good in that.
Recently. And he's a great actor, and he's very selective about his roles, and I think he has a good eye for the roles he picks. And Paul Rudd shows some versatility here. He's not the character that he, you know, is in Anchorman or something like that. You know, this is definitely a step up from This Is 40.
Okay.
So, thank God.
Yeah. So he's 41 in this film.
That's correct.
No way.
Yeah. He's 41 years old.
That was a shot in the dark.
So that was movie number 3. And then movie number 4, a little movie called Drinking Buddies.
Huh.
Now this will be right up your alley, being as you've recently become an alcoholic.
Right. But I don't have a drinking buddy because you're gone and David still haven't seen him.
Right.
Completely gone.
I was alluding to the fact that you might be hallucinating and at times see multiple versions of yourself.
That is true. And that's happening right now.
Drinking Buddies is directed by Joe Swanberg, who is kind of, I think he gets lumped into this mumblecore movement. You kind of hear his name in tandem with guys like the Duplass brothers and Lynn Shelton and those kinds of folks.
Okay.
But he's also part of the VHS horror anthology. He directed one of the shorts in that anthology, and he also acted in one of them. So he's kind of all over the place. And this movie stars Olivia Wilde, Jake Johnson, Ron Livingston, who... What's going on with Ron Livingston?
I don't know.
They just bring him in for like one act of a movie, and then he disappears every movie.
Hmm.
He's in this as well as Anna Kendrick, and the movie is about Kate and Luke, Olivia Wilde and Jake Johnson, who work together at a craft brewery. Tim,
I like this storyline already.
And they have one of these really close friendships that feels like it could be something more, and it's kind of like they're constantly testing the boundaries of what their relationship really is.
Okay.
But they both have significant others. Olivia Wilde's character is dating Chris, who's played by Ron Livingston, and Luke is with Jill, the wonderful Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yes.
And it's kind of this weird... it's at one point, you're almost like, are they just going to swap? Is this like a swingers kind of thing where they're just going to trade off? Because it's so clear as an observer to these two relationships that Jake Johnson's character and Olivia Wilde's character should be together. Their personalities are probably more in line. But then things get super complicated, and it's a very, I guess, intimate kind of personal movie that focuses just on these relationships. And I would compare it to something like Your Sister's Sister, which we talked about a lot last year.
And I love.
Yeah, it's improv heavy. You definitely get the feeling that there's not a lot on the paper, that the actors are just being allowed to kind of develop and the actors are allowed to do what they want, it seems. And the performances are great. Kendrick's great. Olivia Wilde delivers a surprisingly nuanced performance. Olivia Wilde, she hasn't really done much, right? I mean,
she's good in House.
She's good. Yeah, she's a great actress, but as far as...
In House. Is she even in anything else?
Well, as you may or may not remember, Cowboys and Aliens...
Is that really a movie?
She just walked around naked for a little while.
Oh, well, she's
good at
that.
And she was
in
The Change Up with Ryan Reynolds, and she played the same kind of like super hot girl with not a lot of character. But here in Drinking Buddies, of course, the title is derived from the fact that they work at this craft brewery, and they are constantly drinking. I'm pretty sure they're all borderline alcoholics. And there comes a point with her character where it's kind of like, Maybe you should step back just a little because you're making a lot of shitty decisions in your life. So yeah, great performances from all them, and surprisingly enough, Ty West, director of like House of the Devil, The Innkeepers, he had a segment in VHS.
Mm-hmm.
He acts in this movie. He's a friend of Joe Swanberg's. He plays a minor character, but it's funny to see him show up, especially if you're familiar with his work.
Is he any good?
Yeah, he's convincing as a douchebag.
Okay,
he plays a kind of guy that you don't really like.
Is he just like a patron of the bar? And
he works at the brewery.
The brewery.
And he kind of wedges his way in between Jake Johnson and Olivia Wilde's character. So, hey, that was a perk for him. Like, hey, let me get on this set and hang out with Olivia Wilde for a while.
Sure.
Also, Olivia Wilde is, she's either engaged or got married to Jason Sudeikis of Saturday Night Live. And he shows up at a couple points in the movie. So that's a funny little cameo for him.
He's a very tall man.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
I can't say I could really tell.
He is.
Let me tell you what I did appreciate about Jason Sudeikis in this movie, though. He has a full-grown beard, and he's wearing cargo shorts the whole movie.
That is my kind of my kind of man.
I really hope that was like his, like he came into like the table read, and he was like, all right, look, my character, I've got him. He wears a flannel shirt, cargo shorts, and he has like Patrick Swayze Point Break hair with a mountain man beard. And they were like, you got it. You're done. Was that the last movie?
It was.
That's
yeah.
four movies.
You are tired. I can hear it in your voice.
I'm so tired. And someone was telling me in line that there's this thing here called Daylight Savings Time, and I'm about to lose an hour.
What does that mean?
It means
how
that
can you lose an hour?
As I talk to you right now, it is 2 in the morning. But it's actually 3 in the morning. I just lost an hour. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
So I'm not getting much sleep.
It sounds like a crazy person told you that.
I'm not sure if it's real. Maybe they were just trying to trick me so I wouldn't get up in time for the express line passes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So far, I've
so
seen
so many rules in the civilized
in the real
world. Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I've seen 6 movies in 2 days. Respectable, I
right.
guess.
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to see more.
Okay.
I will see more.
Yeah, of course.
So. Have you heard from David?
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Not a smoke signal. Nothing.
Huh. Do you think he's alive?
I don't know.
A bummer.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to get some sleep, and I'm going to watch more movies tomorrow, and I will radio you. So keep your radio handy.
I will.
In your hand.
I'll keep it in my hand again.
Okay. We'll talk tomorrow.
God willing.
See you, boy.
David's adventure has sights to behold. All this island's wonders and mysteries so old.
Yesterday in David's adventure, calling Mystery of the Missing Adam, David set out in search of his missing compatriot. In his search, he stumbled upon a clue, only to be led to a talking turtle allegedly named Barnaby Q. Shell. Let's pick up where he left off and see what this tenacious turtle knows.
Am I drunk?
I don't believe so. What makes you ask?
You're a talking turtle?
I see. Well, that's a good point. You haven't questioned any of the other oddities about this island. Why start now?
That's a great point. I'll run with it.
Glad to hear it.
So, did you see who dropped this wrapper I found earlier?
Well, I did.
Great. What direction did he go?
Well, I can't just give out some information without getting something in return.
Really? That's how this is going to be? Some sort of like challenging scenario?
You got it.
Barnaby went on to explain that he wanted a bow tie. Not just any bow tie, though. He wanted the native chief's favorite bow tie. David was to sneak into the native camp under cover of night and steal the bow tie from the native chief's sleeping body. He begrudgingly agreed.
Ugh, I begrudgingly agree.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Later that night...
Okay, David. You can do this. Just one step at a time. Now, where is that chief's tent? Ah, there it is.
David snuck into the tent and found the chief sleeping comfortably. He reached for the bow tie and slowly started untying the tie.
Damn you, Clark Gable. The bird was mine.
David finished untying the tie and slowly stepped outside. He carefully made his way out of the camp.
You're almost out. Just don't...
Ow!
Step on anyone.
My bow tie! Someone has stolen my favorite bow tie.
Shit, time to run.
David was then chased out of the camp. Luckily, the natives were still groggy from sleep. Otherwise, David would not have been able to get away. The next morning, David found Barnaby waiting by a tree.
So, here you go. Here's your bow tie.
Wonderful.
So, what can you tell me about my friend?
Oh, he flew overhead. At least, I think it was him. Not real sure, though. I have pretty bad eyesight.
Seriously? That's what you have? You aren't even sure it was him?
Yep. See you around. Thanks for the bow tie.
With that, David followed the trail pointed out to him. Join us tomorrow for another exciting chapter in David's adventure, Colin, The Mystery of the Missing Atom.